Ja, mit Batteristen auf den Zeller.
What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning into Swiss Putz for another episode. I hope you are keeping well and sane during lockdown. I'm healthy, but not so sure about sane. The last few weeks, I had managed a routine around my kids' schoolwork. It was great. We got up and ready and started school. We had some outdoor activities in our garden. Everything eventually got into a smooth routine, which I enjoyed. We got things done and we were all relatively happy. Now it's officially holidays and the kids know they don't have to do schoolwork. I should be getting up and having a schedule anyway, but so far it's been sleep-ins and TV, which I can see is not going to go well in the long run. Today I made my kids stay outside for 3 hours. For the first two, there was whinging, crying, complaining, and of course fighting. You'd think I was making them learn piano or start a new language from scratch. But after that, we had a fun hour on the trampoline together. I convinced my kids to jump on the trampoline while I laid on it and tried to sing songs. The bouncing made my songs weird and funny, and it got out some of their frustrations by bouncing their annoyances out. It helped that they could bounce on top of me, which they thought was hilarious. So for an hour of fun, it only takes 2 hours of complaining. Good to know. My husband is working from home, a familiar story the world over. I'm finding my husband is working longer hours and it's kind of driving me crazy. He finishes up work at like 7 and then wonders where dinner is, but we ate lunch at 4 so no one is hungry. I don't know about your house, but something isn't working out here and it'll probably be a few more weeks before we work it out once and for all. What kind of quarantine are you? Are your days scheduled, filled, or empty? Are you a look at the numbers daily kind of person, or are you avoiding the news like the virus? I was reading the numbers daily, but that wasn't doing much for my mental health, so I've been avoiding looking at news sources and data on deaths. That has helped a bit for sure. I'm wearing a mask when I go out and it causes quite the storm. I have a handmade mask made by Nana Canna, a small Basel-based business, and they are colourful and bright. But that means a lot of stares. Kids are pointed, people have stopped mid-conversation, but I still wear my mask. I suspect we might all be wearing masks soon, but the science behind it and the verdict on whether they should be worn or not is still out. What do you think? Right, let's get on to today's guest. Pragetti messaged me with a question. Could she feature Swiss Putz on her blog? Of course, I jumped at this chance and answered Pragati's questions, and she wrote an awesome piece on me. If you want to check it out, head to myswissstory.com. I find women like Pragati really inspiring. She's one of these women who seem to do everything. She's smart, she's a career woman, she's a mother and a wife, and she has a passion project. Yet she doesn't define herself or limit herself by labels. She says something really interesting when Don asks her how it felt to do a master's degree while juggling a career and motherhood. And she says, "I look back and wonder how I did it all, and I find that so interesting. Some people, like myself, spend so much time questioning their abilities, wondering, can I do that thing I really want to do? But Pragati did these things and just knew she could. What a woman. I hope you can enjoy this episode with her. And bonus points, since lockdown, Pragati has been updating her blog with relevant and helpful articles, so be sure to check it out to get some helpful tips. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Swiss Putz wherever you can, be it Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, Spotify, and don't forget to leave me a review. It really helps and means a lot to me. I've been so humbled by how many people are tuning in to listen to Swiss Putz, and I hope to continue to bring you awesome content with interesting, inspiring guests with great stories. Thanks for listening. Yodley. Hey everyone, thank you for joining us. We have Pragati Sidhanti here joining us. She is she's a tech manager, but also a blogger at My Swiss Story and Be for Beauty. Pragati, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You did a story on Swiss Putz recently on your blog.
Right. And I really enjoyed doing that. And the response that we've been getting, it's really fab.
Yeah, yes. Thank you so much for that. That's our first feature on a blog. So I feel pretty special about it. You asked me a couple of questions and wrote up a really nice story about Swiss Putz. Yes. And about me. So thank you. Don forgot to send his answers.
I did, and I would like to apologize on air for that. I know I sent you an email, but
yeah, you did
I feel
that.
Like an idiot when it was like, wow, look at this great article. Oh, yeah, I was supposed to answer those questions. So
but I, think
I apologize to you. I have a beef with Susie on the side. She could have reminded me, but that's okay. That's fine.
But I think she covered it.
She did a great job.
Yeah. We have a great story there because then it resonated with so many expats.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you doing that for us. So if you want to check that out, it's at myswissstory.com,
right.
Which is where you're a blogger.
Yes.
Before we get to your life as a blogger, because you actually have the two, the Bee for Beauty and My Swiss Story, you're not just a blogger. You actually have a pretty important career.
Right.
So you're a tech manager. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I have been in the tech industry for the last 14 years. So that's my primary job. So my source of income, so to say. I started with product companies like Oracle and SAP Labs. I'm a computer science engineer by education. So I was doing a lot of coding and, you know, tech architecture and things like that. Then I moved into the industry and I was handling their IT solutions. So I worked with Johnson & Johnson. I worked with Unilever. And I was doing really well at Unilever when we decided my husband got this opportunity. So I had to take the role of a trailing spouse, a very similar story to most of the expats. And that's when we moved here. And when we moved here, I said, I'm not going to look for a job this time. So really wanted to do a master's. And a lot of new things were happening. So I enrolled for a master's program even before we moved in. So I was really busy the moment we got here. And then a lot of other stuff started happening. The whole My Swiss Story started happening. And then I thought, okay, let me start, kind of documenting my Swiss life in stories and like pictures and text. And that's how the Instagram and the Bee for Beauty Swiss blog was born. My sister gave me a little corner on her blog and she was like, okay, go crazy. So that's how the blog journey kind of started. And then I jumped back to my corporate job. So I was back with IBM and now I'm with Accenture. That is my primary, my career or my job. But these passion projects have really grown and I love doing it.
So I definitely want to dive into that. But my question is, so you moved to Switzerland at the same time you began a master's program.
Yeah. Right.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that. I'm sorry.
And you're a mom.
Yes.
Right, and you're a mom.
And she was six then.
Yeah, which is a whole different animal. Like,
Take
us back to that time. Do you look back and be like, how the hell did I do that?
I still wonder, actually, how the hell am I really doing whatever I'm doing for the last 4 years? It's that's been my mantra from the beginning. I keep myself that busy that I don't let myself spiral into feeling that, you know, oh my God, I've lost my social circle. Oh, I don't have my friends. And what am I going to do? So I always have like plans. And that's exactly what my plan was, that, you know, maybe not jumping into a corporate job, because that would just have been crazy if both of us were back into our journeys with a very different cultural setup. So that's why I was like, okay, let me do this part-time master's and then see, you know, kind of settle in. But it wasn't easy doing it at all, like you say. It was like I was 4 days a week at school. Mm-hmm. And then I was adjusting to this whole new Swiss thing. And with a six-year-old who started going to an international school, she was having her own journey.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was actually the most challenging year, which was 2016 when we moved, was the toughest year. And we don't have winters like we have winters here. So it was everything. It was the weather. It was the people. It was the situation. It was going back to school after like 12 years or whatever. So it was a lot. But then, I think it taught us a lot.
Yes.
That year.
So was this your first time first time outside India?
First time outside India. This was like our first expat thing, you know, like moving out of our home country. We have moved cities, but that's inside India. And it's kind of, India is also many different worlds because the south and the north are very, very different. So I come from the north part of India.
Okay.
And I lived in the south part of India for the longest time.
Okay.
So, but it was a sea change, if you really think about it. It was a sea change when we moved from India to Switzerland.
I want to ask you more about leaving a corporate world and agreeing to be a trailing spouse. Was that a particularly difficult thing for you? Because you're clearly an intelligent woman who had a career. And was that the reason that you decided to do the master's, like to keep yourself busy, to not feel like, you know, you were losing yourself? You know, and was that particularly difficult when you came
over? Actually, that's a great question, because I wasn't, like people usually say, oh, Switzerland, you must have jumped with joy. No, not at all. Frankly, not at all. We really thought of this decision because I was due a promotion. I was, like I said, I was doing really well at Unilever at that point in time. And it was one of the best organizations to work for. So it was a hard call to take, but we wanted to do it as a family. We thought it could be a great thing for a family, and it could be great for our daughter and things like that. And we did have a plan to do it when we just got married, but it just happened so much later. So I was like, okay, but you know, I want to make sure that I do all the things that I have been planning all these years. I've been putting them, because when you are doing a job and there is a steady flow of income and then you have your whole schedule set, you can't really jump out and do these creative projects or even a master's program. Like, I thought about it so many times, but life just takes over. But I was like, you know, so this time I'm gonna hold myself and not apply at all. And then the master's program was, of course, not just to add value, but to also get like a Swiss degree. That kind of was a very big positive when I went back to employers and said that, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to go back and jump on the corporate bandwagon again. And then it was like, okay, she has also got this, you know, like she's also a Swiss certified student.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the sea change coming from India to here.
Right.
What were some of the biggest adjustments or challenges or things that surprised you, shocked you? I mean, what can you kind of take us through that that whole process of just coming over here and learning this place and how it balanced from what you knew basically your entire life?
Yeah, I mean, and it really was like that, Dawn. Like it was nothing like it was at back home. You know, everything from supermarkets to the way life is. So I don't want to sound very pompous or anything, but frankly speaking, in India, we have a lot of helpers that make our lives really easy. And thank God we have them, because otherwise, and that was my support system. That was how I was making it work, because two of us on our, you know, like really hectic jobs and a child back home and grandparents living in the northern part of India, we had a lot of support. We had helpers. So we had people who would come and clean our apartment every day. We had people who would cook for us. There was a nanny. I had a driver. Yeah. We had, it all sounds so fancy, but that's just normal there.
Sure.
It was just, and that's how I've grown up. So I was always used to so many helpers around that all of a sudden I was like, what is happening? Like, really? I have to do all this on my own, like cook and then clean as well. And then I was like, that was hard. And then you have to get your groceries on your own. There are no online, you know, you're not ordering groceries on the app and they are at your doorstep and things like that. And I was like, my God.
And I'm guessing the shelf of the Indian food or products in the grocery stores is a bit tiny,
and they are not really the real Indian products, but they are quite customized, I would say.
Yeah, American Isle is like marshmallows and like Reese's Pieces. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like that small shelf where you have some, we call them like the masalas or the spices. So we have some of that, but it is nowhere close to what I could use for my cooking, because it's so mild that the flavors just won't even come in. So just as a tip for Indians, we have I discovered that we have our own grocery stores here. So yes, it's so we visit those as much or maybe a little lesser than we visit the normal grocery stores. So yes,
it's possible to get by.
It's possible, yes. If you finally get into the zone of a DIY life, it goes by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes by.
So you mentioned a little earlier that your child had her own journey here. Was it particularly difficult for your daughter to get used to a Swiss life and Swiss schooling?
Yes, it was. I mean, first to start with was the language, though we made that easy for her by putting her in an international school. She goes to academia. So it's a bilingual school, and then she was doing both, but she was struggling every time there were just German days. And then she was like, "Mommy, I just cannot understand whatever is happening." And then she was also used to an Indian lifestyle. So she also, she didn't know that, but she had a lot of help around her. So she would be the last one to wear her shoes and, you know, kind of wear her jacket. And she would half of the time forget because she was not even used to wearing a jacket. So, you know, things like layering up and, you know, just making sure that you have everything around you and not having anyone else to help you. So she had her own journey, like, and then with friends, and it was a multicultural, you know, kind of an environment for her. So it was really hard, but we are surprised at how well she's done. So she's our translator now. She's the one who does. Yes.
My kids too. Yeah. They're so resilient.
Yes,
they?
Yes. So it's amazing. Like, I think she's more used to this now than when we take her back home. Yeah. She gets bored very quickly and she's like, she wants to go back. So that's now, this is home for her. Yeah. For us, it's India's always going to be home. Like for me and my husband, we yearn to go back and we, you know, we keep calling our parents and things like that. But for her, and it makes sense, this is home, and she has her own set of, you know, good and bad days, but this is like, you know, her surroundings now.
It's funny that you mentioned about the jacket thing, because in Switzerland, they place such a high importance on young kids doing everything themselves. And it's like, my kids are now, they used to be at the international school and they're now at a local school. And it's like, if you forget your stuff, it's your own fault. Nobody else is to blame.
Yes.
And my kids are getting used to that, like, they can't blame me, they can't blame the teacher, they have to take the responsibility themselves. And that can be quite a shock.
Yes.
And it sounds like for your daughter it was, because I can imagine maybe say similar with Australians, like coming over here, your hat, your gloves, your scarf, your jacket, your jumper, everything, like warm socks.
Oh yes, she would forget at least 2 or 3 things every day back at school. And the lunchbox and the snack box was never coming back. Never.
See, here's the funny thing. Like this weekend, it's going to be like 13, 14. Yes. And I'm probably going to wear shorts. Because where I came from, this is summertime in Chicago. So like this is like warm weather. I'm like, this is gorgeous. I think I'll wear shorts today. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
just funny how, you know, the different perspectives are.
Yeah, this is not warm weather.
This is not warm weather at all. Like, I used to live in Bangalore in India. And this is, I think, the coldest.
Winter.
Yeah. 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 This would be winter. Yeah. And a little bit more than this and people would be huddled and they would be like, oh, it's so cold today. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, to be fair,
ask us now.
To be fair, when it's like 30 degrees, I'm a miserable human being.
Okay.
I'm grumpy at 30.
Yeah.
So, well, and I've recently learned what actually the Celsius is. So I'm pretty proud of myself.
You need to take that back to America with you. Seriously. So let's talk about my Swiss story.
Yes.
How did, I mean, we touched on it briefly, how it all started, and it started when you were doing your master's. And it was something that you always wanted to do?
Not really.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Not really. Actually, I didn't even know I wanted to do it. Because I was like, what am I going to really, when I was back in India, I was like, my sister was doing this blog and it's called Be for Beauty. And that's our big blog, actually. That's the one which has been there for the last 7-8 years. It's her baby. She's had so many brand collaborations and it's a blog that's got a really, like it's traveled out of India now. It's got a pretty good global reach. And she would write about, so she was an editor with a magazine, like a beauty magazine before, and then she started the blog and she was doing mostly beauty stories, and then she started doing more lifestyle topics and then travel, a little bit of travel. And then she was doing really well, and I was like, till she asked me, if do you want to partner up? Because I loved to write. And I was like, but what stories am I going to tell? Really, I have no, you know, nothing to give back to the to girls who wanting to learn to do makeup or, you know, kind of understand skincare better. But only when I moved here, I was like, you know, I have a lot of content that I want to talk about.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's yeah. like, I've got to tell you about this.
Yes. So then she was like, hey, that's a great idea, because this would be really unique. There are tons of blogs doing lifestyle content, but a blog that is being run between India and Switzerland, and you know, you kind of telling readers how it was for you, and you know, kind of putting your journey out there, could be something really unique that only we have. And that was exactly how it was. It was something that was really, really unique, because there were two types of audiences that were looking at my content. So one that lives here and wants to, you know, kind of learn more. And then there's the aspirational Indian who's kind of, you know, wanting to move out of country, maybe to Switzerland or any other place, but wants to just see what the life of an expat looks like. And we always painted the real picture. It was never the Alps and
yeah,
and reality. The chocolates and the cheese, but it was the reality. And my first year of reality, like I said, wasn't pretty at all, because I was like, my God, I am working too much. Like, and I'm not even like going back to work. So I don't know what's like, it's completely changed. So that's the thing that kind of resonated with people. And, you know, if I would be recognized by some of the Desis, like we say, the Indians in Basel, I would be like, oh, my day's made. And like, you know, that particular article of yours was so great. And, you know, this is exactly how I feel. And then people would message me, how can we get here? And things like that. That was very, very rewarding. And that's why I just kept, you know, kept on with it.
So what were some of those stories that you originally started writing in that year where it was difficult? What were some of those topics? Because you say, you know, you want to keep it real. You want to be your authentic self, and you're not painting a picture of perfection.
Yes.
So what were some of those stories that you were like, all right, this is my life now?
Yeah. So I was talking about what's so different. So I was talking about everything, how motherhood has changed, how probably, you know, my daughter's life is changing, what school systems are like. Things like groceries, like, you know, I remember I wrote at least 4 or 5 grocery edit blogs, because it was just so different.
Yeah, there's never enough like time to learn about the way you can shop here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And of course, like things like resources, like, you know, where are we traveling, and doing budget travel, and, you know, kind of how. So there were different topics completely around living and things like that. And then, you know, how life is really DIY, how I make it work, how it's going back to school, what's it like meeting people here, and how friendly or not are they? So things like that.
Yeah.
And that's what started working. And then this whole Swiss blog category, it was just a category. It was like a small corner of Beef for Beauty grew so much that, you know, the name Beef for Beauty was not working for me at all, because when I would explain to people, there would be only beauty brands who would come and talk to me and say that, you know, we would send you PR samples and things. And I was like, you know, that's not what I do at all. And that's when we decided last year sometime. So it's very new. My Swiss story is really new. But it was lucky that I had built that audience, that they moved with me to the new website. So then my Swiss story now is predominantly expat living, and, you know, a little bit of travel that I, you know, and these projects that I keep doing with other people. So it's predominantly expat living now.
Yeah. So you mentioned about, you know, meeting new people, and I want to know what it's like for an Indian coming to Switzerland. You know, are you looking for other Indians who have experienced what you've experienced, or are you just throwing yourself into Swiss life and meeting anyone that you can?
I mean, that was the idea, right? To kind of meet more, like kind of broaden your perspective and meet more and more people from all over the world. And of course, I mean, expats really get along with expats.
Yeah.
It's the
like,
truth.
Hold on, we've got something in common.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do have a lot of topics to talk about. So a lot of friends, my best friend is actually a school mom. So, you know, and she's Canadian, she's not Indian. Like most people would think that, you know, of course I would completely get along with someone who's Indian as well. I mean, I have a lot of Indian friends here, but like, you have so much to connect with fellow expats that, you know, my friend circle kind of has broadened a lot. And I went to school here, and there were 50% expats in my class. It was one of those courses which is taught in English. There are only a couple of them. So there were so many expats in the class. And again, you know, we expats kind of stick together. When you see the groups are being formed for projects, we are kind of the ones who are bunched together, because then we are kind of like talking the same language and we kind of understand and resonate each other's feelings and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you do need like an Indian connect as well. So there were a lot of coffee meetups that I went to initially, and they are culture specific. So there were some that, like, there were these coffee meetups where the ladies from India were kind of organizing these, the ones that were the trailing spouses, the ones where, you know, they are stay at home moms and things like that. So, and I got some really great connects out of that. So some of them, like, I can't go to these meetups anymore. I have no time to do that. But yeah, at least I
had
that.
Busy lady.
And yeah, so I found a bunch of friends at these gatherings.
Yeah, I'm curious. I've met a lot of people in IT before, and they're not like you. Maybe this is just an American thing, but the most of the IT people that I
be careful.
I know I'm they've had a certain personality type, a certain that's not like you, and also the creative aspect of this. So
right.
Like you like to write, you like to, you know, this website's a very creative output.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I find those two things like different. Right, and that, but you have both of them. I find that really interesting. Has someone ever brought that up to you? Like the IT world is it creative? Maybe it is creative. Maybe you, or is this just an outlet that you have? Do you find other people in your profession are also creative, or is this just make this who you are makes this unique?
And actually, it's so true because if it was really that creative. I wouldn't have probably needed this particular outlet.
Yeah.
So this is actually quite true. And whenever I tell someone about this part of my life at work, they are so surprised. Mm-hmm. Like you won't believe it. They are like, oh my God, like you have just this another, you're another person.
Yeah.
On this. You're just completely another person. And I just love that person. So it's sometimes so hard, like at the moment, like the kind of project that I'm doing at the moment, it's like, you know, I'm traveling so much. We were talking about it. So 5 days a week, I'm so busy that there's no time for my Swiss story.
Yeah.
So I wake up on Saturdays and Sundays because I love doing this so much. It is such a big creative outlet. It kind of calms me down so much that I wake up early in the morning before my husband and my daughter and I sit and work.
Okay.
And I do like around 3 or 4 hours over the weekend. I try to do like 3 or 4 hours on Saturday and then some of that on Sunday. And I want to make sure that this keeps going because mm-hmm. I've worked so hard on it. But yeah, that's very true. I mean, it is a different side of a personality, you know, that kind of does not show at work unless you tell people about it and they're like, oh my God, okay, share the, and they're very happy to hear about
yeah.
it. Share the website and, you know, I'm going to look at it more and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I want to point out something about My Swiss Story and that you can sometimes keep women as your focus. What is it about kind of the expat world and the women here that inspires you so much?
I mean, like, again, this was accidental, but it just happened that so I did like 4 different type of projects last year. So this is something that I do. I do collaborative projects where I call people. I open up the blog for others to kind of come and, you know, write or participate in a project. And most of the people who participated were women. And I was like, there's so much of collective creativity over here that, you know, it was like I took it upon myself that, and we featured over 60 women on the blog last year, doing different kind of businesses and, you know, kind of just talking about simple things like working mothers and, you know, their expat stories and things like that. And now I think the blog has gone into that direction where we want to use My Swiss Story as a platform to, you know, kind of give women an opportunity to talk about all the fantastic things that they're doing. So yes, that is a new direction that we've taken. But yeah, I mean, and I love, I have just loved doing that. So yeah, we're going to continue doing that. There were 60 last year. There probably will be more this year. That's why the focus was a little bit more on Susie on the story.
I'll take it.
You really didn't want my questions. No, come I on. See what it was. Okay. You're like, oh, thank God he didn't email me those questions.
So she sent a really nice picture also, which was just of her.
Yeah, so I had to put myself in it.
Yeah. She sent that picture to everybody.
Yeah, no, I do not. I think it's super important that you do these stories on women, because I don't know if there was a shift in the last year or last couple of years where supporting women instead of putting women down is like really, really important.
Yes.
And there's a lot of blogs, Facebook groups, Instagram pages where it's about supporting women as a woman, and like even hashtags women supporting women.
Yeah.
So it's super important that we're supporting other women, and it's you know, your My Swiss Story is doing that really, really well.
Yes, and that's also a very strong intent behind it. Then I want to just put it out there that, you know, we want to use this. I've built this platform over the years now, and if we can, you know, if this is going to help more and more women, because for me it's a creative outlet. I'm not I've not monetized the blog, so to say, yet. But if it's going to go in this direction where more and more women are going to benefit, why not? And then we're going to do some really great creative projects. One of the projects that I wanted to actually bring up was 21 Hidden Gems of Switzerland. That's an ebook that I wrote last year. 21 women, including me, I was one of them, who participated and gave these hidden destinations of Switzerland. And it did so well. We have a book on Amazon now. You can download it free at my website. So there were these type of creative projects that women are getting involved in. And they were like, we love doing it. So we're going to do more of these this year. So yeah, so more power.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know about the book. So what's it called? 21?
Hidden Gems of Switzerland.
21 Hidden Gems of Switzerland. And you can get that for free on your website.
Yes, yes, you can. And you don't even have to put your email address. So we don't have any of those, you have to sign up to first download the book and things like that. There's nothing. The moment you click on the link, you have the PDF with you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Pragati, thank you so much for coming on. Let us let our listeners know how they can find your blog.
Yes, so you can go online, myswissstory.com. The other one is beforbeauty.com if you want to, kind of get more into the lifestyle content that we generate. Follow me on Instagram. I really need followers there. So my ID is Pragati Siddhanti. That's my full name. I know it's a little bit hard, but yeah, I think you can link back.
Yeah.
You can link back. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was awesome chatting with you guys.
You too.
Yummy, bonkeristin, open, celery.